Shalom, and welcome to the program called Tinsel and Holly at the Feast of Tabernacles here at YahweHYahweh.name. We've got to read from a number of resources. The Scriptures, reading from the King James Version, in Mark chapter 8, regarding where we have our heart set on, or what we have our heart set on. Do we have it set on the world or on spiritual things? Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his burden and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the evangel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall a man trade for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the esteem of his Father with the separated messengers. Mark chapter 8, the last couple of verses there. The question is, what shall it profit a person if he or she gains the whole world, you know, makes compromises but loses her own soul? Oh, that's from Mark 8. Well, when was the Messiah born is a question. Now, we know that Messiah died in the first of the year. That is, not in the Roman or common year, but in the first of the scriptural year, which commonly occurs around the commonly called spring. And we call it early summer. He died and rose from the grave after 3 nights and 3 days at that time of year. After some say a 31 and a half year ministry, some say 33 years and a half that Messiah, or excuse me, 33 and a half years on the earth after he was born of the Virgin. So 33 and a half years, what does that half tell us? That tells us that all we have to do is add another half year, and we can come to the another anniversary of his birth. We didn't count birthdays. We didn't do it then, and we don't do it now. But if you were to add another half year from the time that Messiah died, you'd come up with 6 months later in the common months of September or October. But some of the evidence can be found in Scripture as well for the birth date of Messiah. It's not a real heavy task. It's not that easy either to go through the course of Abijah. Go to the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, and I'll give you a couple of excerpts there, and we can count. So this is a second way of counting the approximate birth time of the Messiah. We could go to Luke 1:26. Actually, we'll start. Let's start at verse 5. Luke 1:5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the court of Abia, or the court of Abijah, or Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of Yahweh blameless. So Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, served in the course of Abia. And we can look back to 1 Chronicles 24:10 to find out that that course was probably in the middle of summer. And they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the commandments of Yahweh. And we'll look at Luke 1:24. So when did Elizabeth conceive? When did Zechariah's wife Elizabeth conceive? In the sixth month. Now that's the sixth scriptural month. which would fall around August or September. In the sixth month, the messenger Gabriel was sent from Yahweh unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Oh, excuse me, this is referring to Messiah's birth now. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the messenger came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, Yahweh is with thee. And then in some manuscripts it adds, Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this may be. And the messenger said unto her, Fear not, Miriam, for thou hast found favor with Yahweh. And I'm sure you know the rest of the story there. The messenger proclaimed to her that she was going to bring forth, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahweh Hosha, or Yahweh the Messiah. So that's the sixth month that Messiah was conceived in her womb, conceived by the Ruach HaKadosh, or the Spirit of Yahweh. And once again, that was in Luke 1:26. And it's back up two verses. I think that's what I intended. Verse 24, And after those days, Zechariah's wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. So after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath Yahweh dealt with me in the days where he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Then it goes into the part that we just read there. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent, or the messenger was sent from Yahweh unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And on it goes. So some of the scriptures there you can look up and come up with the approximate birth time of Messiah, possibly at the Feast of Trumpets. And that was the first chapter of the Evangel of Luke, starting out there with verse 5 and then verses 24 and 26. We could find the year of a person's ministry. Of a man's ministry would be 30 years upward, 30 to 50 years old. That's found in Numbers 4, verse 3. And also in Luke 3:23, there's something interesting here before we move on to a slightly different subject. 3:23 of Luke. And Messiah himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli. That's Luke 3:23. Messiah himself began to be about 30 years of age, and he began to minister. Excuse me, but we can certainly say that Messiah did die in the commonly called spring, and so that 6 months later, you know, that's either 31 and a half years that he died, or 33 and a half years that he died. So just add 6 months, or even take away 6 months, and you come up with his birth date 6 months later, around September, October. Certainly not December. Yeah, let's see. So possibly even October 4th. Of that particular year, whether that was the year 0 or 3 BC, I don't know. But October 4th. And coincidentally, we could look at Jeremiah 10:4. It sounds like a code that you use on the CB radio, 10:4. That's how I remember this. In the book of Jeremiah, if we turn back past Daniel, Ezekiel, and before we get to Isaiah, we get to chapter 10 of Jeremiah. And there we go. Making adjustments around the studio here. Which says, actually, read part of the chapter. 10:1, Hear you the word which Yahweh speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the sign of heaven, at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Now we hear of the astrologers who predict the future using the stars, not to be confused with astronomers who observe the stars to find out what time it is, but the astrologers get into all this witchcraft and soothsaying. Also see Ezekiel 11:12. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not, it won't totter, or teeter, rather. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born, because they can't go. Be not afraid of them. Now, be not afraid of the heathen and their practices. Don't study that. The tree cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Yahweh, thou art great, and thy name is great in thy sight. And, read the whole chapter there. It talks about heathen practices. They are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. The tree, or the heathen, the Gentile tree, is a stock of vanity. Now, this is kind of interesting. Galatians 4 should also be looked at in the newer scriptures. We just read Jeremiah 10:4. Galatians. That should be before Ephesians and after Corinthians. So here we go. The Apostle Shaul, the Apostles, none of them ever observed any birthday, certainly not the birthday of the Messiah, is never mentioned in Scripture. So we have to assume that that it wasn't intended for us to do. So Paul or Shaul said, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. He's talking to Gentiles, the Galatians. But when the fullness of time was come, Yahweh sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. To redeem them that were under the law, that were under a curse, because they had broken Yahweh's law. And so they were under it, they had broken it. And because you are sons, Yahweh sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of Yahweh through the Messiah. Howbeit then, when you knew not Yahweh, you know, when you were just plain old Gentiles, Greeks, when you knew not Yahweh, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods, or Elohim. But now, after that you have known Yahweh, or rather are known of Yahweh, why do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Now they're turning back to those pagan observances, those holidays. Holly, H-O-L-I or H-O-L-Y, meaning pagan worship. You observe days and months and times and years, which in itself wouldn't be wrong, because we Sabbath observers are observing days, and feast day keepers are observing months, and those who have the seven-year release were observing years. There was nothing wrong with that, or Moses would have been guilty of doing something against Yahweh's word. But of course, he was doing the right thing. He was obeying Yahweh's word, which we should be doing. Most of us are not. You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So someone here, the formerly pagan or former spiritual Gentile people, were observing days, months, times, and years, and Paul was afraid of them for those practices, practicing those heathen practices there. Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, commonly called Ezekiel 20, verse 39, chapter 20 of Ezekiel. As for you, O house of the northern ten tribes, thus saith Yahweh, go you serve you every one his idols, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute you my pure separated name, no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my separated mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, of the chosen land, saith Yahweh, there shall all the house of Israel, of them that are in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your separated things. We should be reading the book Come Out of Her, My People by C.J. Coster, if there were time. Right now there's only 140 pages. You can get it from comeoutofhermypeople.com or giveshare.org. And it's the cost is irrelevant for most people. It's under $10, including shipping. Giveshare.org, great book. What are some of the things that feast-keeping people do, feast-day-keeping people? What do? When they go to these feasts, they're joyful. As the children were in the book of Nehemiah, when they discovered the law and that they weren't keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, and they weren't keeping Passover, so they began keeping it, and they celebrated with great joy, exuberance. And they just jumped in with both feet and dove in there and just really enjoyed the time of year, the season of tabernacles at the end of the year. Beautiful colors, the fall, so-called fall colors there, autumn colors, were quite brilliant. The leaves were about ready to fall, and they were, quite a bright show of colors and of birds migrating from one area of the earth to another. Just beauty all around. Great food, great preaching, great rest, good sleeping, even during some of the messages, right? They love to praise Yahweh. Now what happens at some of the heathen feasts? People like Christmas to become happy. For example, in that song, Have Yourself a Merry Christmas. Have yourself, see? The person is to be emphasized here. Have myself a great time. Back at the feast days, in Deuteronomy 14, Yahweh commands us to celebrate his feasts. Also in Numbers 28 and Leviticus 23. And Deuteronomy 14 is more of a colorful description here of keeping the feast days. There's a lot of different things in the book of Deuteronomy that we could heed today, we could learn from, and our culture wouldn't be shot the way it is. It'd be healed and we'd be blessed. But it doesn't look like we're headed in that direction. Deuteronomy 14:23, And thou shalt eat before Yahweh in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of the corn and wine and oil and firstlings of thy herds and thy flocks. Thou mayest learn to fear Yahweh always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, so it was obviously a Haggag kind of a feast, a pilgrimage feast. Then thou in the place which Yahweh shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh has blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and shalt go into the place which Yahweh shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth is a bad English translation. We could use, where did I put my note here? Desire is another good word anyway. I didn't find the note, but whatever thy soul desires after, for oxen or sheep or for wine or strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul, now this time it used the word desire there, I think. Thou shalt eat, but desireth, and thou shalt eat there before Yahweh, and thou shalt rejoice, you and your household. Verse 29, the Levites, because he has no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh may bless thee and all the work of your hand, which you do. So he said in verse 26, for oxen, sheep, for wine, strong drink. Now don't take that to an extreme there and go out and buy a big bottle of wine and drink it all the first day, or whiskey or something, and wind up in the hospital. for liver damage. One of the things about the pagan observance of Christmas, it originated in sun worship, and that's according to many, many references. It is immersed in idolatry throughout, and there is no command to keep it. What about the Feast of Tabernacles? Yahweh commands us to celebrate his feast days. There's no command to celebrate the holidays. Thirdly, believers can gather for all 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles and Sukkoth. We find in the future in Zechariah 14 that people in the future, that is, now we're recording in 2010, but in the future, whenever Yahweh comes back, we will be in the millennium with him if we are in his unmerited favor, not saved by works, but saved by his favor that he's bestowed upon us, along with his mercy and excellent salvation. So if we're there, we'll be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14, mark that. Also, in this current time, in this present time rather, that we may receive persecution for doing something, quote, Jewish, whereas if we're keeping a pagan holiday, for example, the Japanese holiday of Bonadori, a beautiful ice chipping festival where they make statues and all kinds of things, you'd not be persecuted for doing that or for keeping the Christmas holiday. You're not going to be persecuted for a thing like that. And church usually on that most holy day of the year, the most wonderful day of the year for Christmas, church is usually closed. Unless it's a Lutheran church or Roman Catholic. So it's closed so you can visit relatives. And doing pagan holidays does not bring persecution. Now, the fourth point here about keeping the feast days is that supper, breakfast, and lunch, believers frequently talk about scriptures and prophecy. It's a blessed time. You can read there from the book of Nehemiah, which is before Psalms. I think I can find that, Nehemiah chapter 8. It's before Job and Esther. There we go. I just read a portion of that and I kind of relish some of the festivities that go on there, the making booths. Nehemiah said, This day is pure unto you. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Not that the law was so bad. It wasn't bad at all. It was encouraging, but they couldn't believe it. They were astonished that they had lost so much, so many standards. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is separate. This day is pure unto Yahweh. Neither be sorry, for the joy of Yahweh is your strength. So Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is separate and pure, neither be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them, that had been lost through all those generations going back to Moses and even before Moses, back to Adam and Hava, Adam and Eve. And they found written in the law which Yahweh had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. That's the seventh scriptural month. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches. Now they don't do this in messianic gatherings and Christian gatherings, but they should. It says here to fetch olive branches, pine branches, myrtle, palm branches, and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. And they were also to wave them before Yahweh, to wave them as they praised, you know, sort of toward the heavens and be praising Yahweh. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of Yahweh, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according to the manner. That was Nehemiah 8, the last couple of verses. And nowhere do we see that the Christmas is commanded to be kept for 8 days. Of course, they sing about the 12 days. On the first day, my true love gave to me, and so on. But that's just a silly pagan tradition that many of us used to enjoy. that we didn't know any better. Now that we are no longer babes and babies, you know, that once we are saved, Yahweh picked us up and started training us and disciplining us as well, then we got away from those foolish practices, even though it was it was a little painful at first to, you know, to give up the tree and the presents and all that, because we liked getting blessed that way. Oh, we just enjoyed someone giving us all these new possessions, these surprises, surprise packages, you know. But we have at the Feast of Tabernacles supper, breakfast and lunch, and talk about scriptures and prophecy, or in the meantime, down here, point four for Christmas and Easter, people gather to talk about tinsel and holly and lights, the tree, and they drink and give themselves presents. Well, enough said about that, for now anyway. I guess we could go on, but we won't. Point five about the feasts, Feast of Yahweh, it inspires us to love Yahweh and obey Him. Point five of the Christmas and Easter holiday side, the holidays inspire us to break the 10th commandment, to covet things. Point six, Yahweh quenches our appetites rightly. Point six for the holidays, it creates an insatiable appetite for, I want more, more, more. Point seven, as a true believer in Messiah, as we study His Word, and hopefully we're all desiring to go His direction, we are commanded, and we do give to the poor from our tithes. We have a second tithe, we have a third tithe. Tithe meaning tenth of our income, not income of everything that comes in. I'm not sure that inheritance would qualify for that. But, and you're not paying, you know, on tax, on tax, on tax, but you're paying a tithe that Yahweh commands you. So you willingly want to give of your resources and your time and your talents and your money or your cattle, whatever it is there that you produce, or that's part of your resource. You give to the poor, you return praise and love. Numbers 27:30, 18:24 of Numbers, Hebrews 7, and Malachi 4. Let's do Numbers. I want to do Numbers right now. Okay, that was point 7, giving poor from our tithes, giving the tithes to the poor. Not all of our tithes. We give the second tithe, whatever's left over from feast expenses, and all the third tithe to the widow and the orphan, for qualifying people who, you know, are not just lazy and or bums, or, you know, trying to deal treacherously in some way. We're not going to be supporting those people who don't want to work at all, even though they might be able to work. We're not going to support their habit and encourage them to stay in their, you know, being a bad steward. We're not going to encourage them to keep doing that. Point number seven, for the holiday keepers, it's time to return our merchandise. I want something different and better. Point number eight, for the feast keepers, there will not be gay apparel worn, only scriptural clothes. We have the, what have I got on here, the tallit with the tzitzis on it, the Hebraic hat, the male beard, and yeah, I just grew that 20 years ago, but I guess it took a year or two for it to get established and look really good. Now it's all turned gray, but it's not, it's not what those, or what I would do 30 years ago before I knew the truth. And another point is, at this time of year for the Feast of Tabernacles, October, you won't freeze. And our music is written by Moses, songs by Moshe and David the Psalmist. Now, what does it say here then in my notes for when we are heathen, that the caroling makes you feel great inside, makes you feel warm. Singing songs by Irving Berlin with gay apparel. But in Israel, your toes would freeze in the 12th month, the 12th common month. That's, the weather is not good for being outside or being born in mangers out there in the stall or something, or in booths, more properly. But in October, September or October, you won't freeze. We have some pretty late feasts. Sometimes it's right there at the end of October when we're finishing up the Feast of Tabernacles, sometimes the first month of November. Another point, point nine, almost our final point. Scriptural New Year is at the commonly called spring, the recreation of green and flowers on the earth. Our months begin at the new crescent moon. The days end and begin at sunset. The months begin at the new crescent moon, not the dark of the moon. And we find this in Leviticus 23:32 and Mark 1:32. Leviticus 23, and it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls, referring to the Feast of Atonement, in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Here we are celebrating in Mark 1:32. Okay, the scriptural new year at the recreation of fresh things in the earth. Mark 1:32, which says, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all their that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. There's also a lot of other scripture that could fit in here right now, but time is limited. So what do they do for the holidays here, the Roman Catholic holidays? The Roman New Year is in the dead of the winter, months set by Pope Gregory. The days begin and the new day begins in the dead of the night for holiday keepers. And once again, Galatians 4 is all about the holidays. But our Messiah was born at the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Trumpets, in that time of year I'm talking about. So it's one or the other, it's not both. He was born near the Feast of Tabernacles because he tabernacled with us. He dwelt with us, dwelt or tabernacled with us. And meantime, the world, or at least in the United States, wanting to celebrate, are they? Are they wanting to celebrate Thanksgiving and give thanks unto Yahweh? Or is it just a day to watch football and a day of overeating and stuffing ourselves with ham or turkey? Not ourselves, but when we were in that frame of mind, uneducated about Yahweh's word regarding being separate and keeping feast days, we just thought about the eating part and the television, watching the football and listening to the crowd noise and the announcer and the crowds out there yelling, and a couple of men out in the field acting like they didn't know any better, running after some pigskin, which some people still enjoy. We're not going to condemn them for that, I guess. They're down to the 30-yard line and 50, 60. But how about Passover in Exodus 12 or Leviticus 23? And also found in the newer scriptures, commonly the New Testament. Our Messiah and Paul kept Passover and unleavened bread for 8 days. We focus on the death, burial, and resurrection of our deliverer. The Messiah died Aviv 14, the 14th of that new month, the new year, the new month, Aviv 14, and then he arose from the grave, Aviv 17. This did not change the Creator's seventh-day Sabbath. He didn't say, well, now I've been keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, resting on every Sabbath, now I'm going to rest on another day of the week. But he actually died, the Messiah died the 14th and rose the 17th, 3 nights and 3 days later, according to Matthew 12:40 and 28:1. And even if it would have been, if the timing of that particular year, it would have worked out, say, for the first day of the week, it didn't, because he was already gone from the grave. But if it had, it wouldn't have changed the day of setting apart, of resting, of convocating with one another, and praising his name, and not buying, not purchasing, not doing all the usual that stuff out there, getting too involved in commerce. Another thing about the time of Christmas is very dangerous in the winter to travel. And people are traveling from one state across another to the third state, or maybe even farther. And then those relatives and second and third and fourth wives and husbands are, and ex-wives and husbands are traveling across those states to get back, and they keep it with their former in-laws and outlaws. And it's just better to stay home sometime, unless maybe you have a you know, some visiting to do, and go play in the snow or something. How about Easter? Jeremiah 7, verse 18. Jeremiah 44, verse 19. Easter is immersed in sun worship on Sunday. I don't know why they never changed the names of these things, like Sunday. A heathen would never be insulted when, you know, you were to say, well, today is Sunday. Isn't that something? You know, it's the day of that I keep or something. It wouldn't offend them because they have no objection to using Sunday as the venerable day of the sun. Easter used to be about artificial eggs and turf and hot cross buns. Now people buy more stuff. Messiah is said to be raised always on a day of the week, on a Sunday, according to their tradition. The law changes as often as men change it, as long as their minds change. And so we want to not do that. We want to not keep the holidays, but we want to keep the feasts, keep Yahweh in our heart. And our prayer is that Yahweh may be magnified today, and that whether you still keep some of these old traditions, such as Thanksgiving, if you do that one, I hope that that your first and foremost intent will be that your heart would be on Yahweh to give Him thanks, and thanks for the freedom that we have, thanks to the veterans, all the soldiers who paid their with their blood and their bodies and their life, so that we could be freed from the tyranny of communism and Hitler's regime, and when some of these countries were going, their leaders were going berserk and tried to take over the world, that we are freed from all of that by our friends in uniform that were on the side of freedom, for that we would have our right to property and life and freedom to praise Yahweh the way we would go according to Yahweh's way, hopefully. So this has been called Tinsel and Holly, the Feast of Tabernacles. So may you dwell in love with Yahweh and keep the feast. Like Paul said, therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but by the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is Stefan Eber, and you can find us on the internet at yahwehyahweh.name. Shalom.